Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Irvin, daf Nun Beis. We're back on Nun Aleph, and we're on the very bottom of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. We are starting two lines from the bottom. We had a discussion yesterday in the Gemara. First of all, we learned where the 2,000 Amos come from. It comes from a Gzeirah Shavah, a very complicated Gzeirah Shavah, complex Gzeirah Shavah, made up of six steps in order to arrive to the conclusion that there's 2,000 Amos. Could be an Asmachta, could be Gzeirah Sakosov. We can go either way on that, as I mentioned yesterday. We also learned yesterday, Dal Amos may not necessarily be Dal Amos. It may, in fact, be 5.6 Amos. That is due to the fact that we're going on the hypotenuse of a 4x4 triangle. Okay, that's another discussion that we had yesterday. But the larger discussion that we had yesterday, which really is going to be taking most of our attention today, is going to be this idea of being ma'ariv b'raglo, meaning that you can make an erev with your legs. You don't have to put down food, although it seems like, from certainly all the Mishnahs that we've been learning up until now, that the primary mechanism of using an erev t'chom is by putting food down and establishing your new makom shisa by the placement of food. But perhaps, however, that can be done with your legs. And I say perhaps, I don't just simply mean perhaps. We've talked about how when you're traveling and you don't have any food on you, so simply put, you could just now simply say, this is going to be my new Erev Tchum. Not only can you turn to the ground right underneath your feet and say, this is going to be my new Erev Tchum, but if you see a landmark up ahead, or if you know about a landmark up ahead that's within 2,000 Amos, so you could forecast your Erev to go to that landmark. We learned yesterday the Halach of Rabbah that was on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. You have to be able to run there before the onset of Shabbos, before the Bein HaShemashos period. But as long as you're able to do that, you can even forecast your Erev up ahead on the road. Good. That's what we've been discussing. Now, we're going to have a discussion now between Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, Machlokas Amoraim. But in order to really appreciate the Machlokas between them, we got to really know the Mishnah well. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to the Mishnah, and I'm going to review the Mishnah. We're now turning back to Memtes Amud Beis, and we're just going to get a quick review of the Mishnah because it's necessary. So see the Mishnah inside, where the Mishnah there talks about Misha Baba Derech. Okay, so the Mishnah is obviously dealing with the person who is on traveling, and he's trying to get home. V'chashcha lo v'hayu lo makir lanu geder. And as he is getting to the house, you know, he realizes he's not going to get to the home before Bein HaShemashos, and he knows upcoming is either a tree or a fence. So we already spent a lot of time talking about this. This is not going to be our, excuse me, this is not going to be our focus. What if he leaves it ambiguous? He's not clear exactly where his Makom Shvisa is going to be. So lo amar klum, he said nothing. Well, by nothing, what does the Mishnah mean? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that's daf nun. That was 2 days ago. Shvisa, but if I say that my Shvisa is going to be on the base of the tree, on the trunk of the tree, okay, good. So the first case of the Mishnah is the traveler who forecasts his Eruv ahead of where he is. Okay, that's case one of the Mishnah. Then, what's case two of the Mishnah? Let's say he doesn't know of any landmark coming up ahead, or he doesn't know that the halach is as he's allowed to do that. So what does he do? So he simply says, look, see where I'm standing? This is my makom shvisa. And so then he gets 2,000 amas in every direction from where he currently is. Good. That we're going to now call case number two. So we have two cases in the Mishnah. Case one of the Mishnah is advancing his Erev ahead of where he is. Case number two of the Mishnah is making the Erev directly under his feet. Okay. Then the Mishnah goes on to a discussion of whether or not you could circle the Tchum or you could square the Tchum. Machlokas Tanayim. According to Rabbi Hanim ben Antignus, you could circle the Tchum. You can only circle the Tchum. So basically creates a radius around him. Chachamim say no, you could actually square it. What does that mean, square it? Meaning make, we talked about this yesterday, 2,000 Amos do north, south, east, and west. Then what you do is you square that. And after squaring that, obviously you're allowed to walk now somewhere in the ballpark of 2,700 Amos into the northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. We talked about that yesterday. Again, not the part that we're going to be focusing on for today. Then the Mishnah makes a statement. Right? And this is important because, let's listen carefully to the statement. This is, in this particular situation, we said that the ani, the poor person, can make an eruv with his legs. Okay. This situation, now, when the Mishnah says this situation, there were actually two situations being described in the Mishnah. One is where he forecasts it ahead, and two is where he says, this is going to be my makom shvi, so the area right under my feet. So when the Mishnah says, zuhi sha'amru, in this case, so it could either be going on case number one, case number two, or maybe both cases. Unclear, that's going to be a big part of our discussion for today. And then the Mishnah goes on, Amar Amer, ein anu, ein lanu, ein, I always trip over this part, anu, ein lanu, ela ani. Rabbi Yehuda, this is only for the poor person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echadani Vechad Ashir. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's true by the poor person, it's true by the wealthy person as well. And then the Mishnah makes another statement. Lo Amru Ma'avrim Bepasar Lahaka La Asher Shalo Yetzav Yerv Beraglav. The only reason why the Chachamim required you to make a tchum with bread is only to make it easier for the Asher. But the truth of the matter is that anyone can make a tchum using his legs. In fact, the primary Erev is with his legs.
But the Mishnah itself, it says, hey, ani, before any of these people, before a mayor or you make a comment on it.
Okay.
The Mishnah itself specifies ani, right?
Agreed.
So what is Yehuda like to expand it?
Okay, it's fine. So, fair. So in other words, if we're going to try to now piece the Mishnah together, it is a little bit, it's a little bit all over the place. Meaning, first we have case number one, then we have case number two, then we have a statement, then we have a machlokas, and then we have another statement. Okay, that's the structure of the Mishnah, an outline of the Mishnah, if you will.
For the second case, I mean, if the first case can do it, the second case, it's a pshita that can do it. Because
right. So far, so good.
No, I'm saying it's pshita that it can do it. If it's
there, but okay.
If he says I can do it, if it's very not there, he surely can do
very
it.
Good. And agreed. Absolutely agreed. Then my question then becomes: what about, is that only for the ani? Or is that going to also be for the Asher as well?
Now, where else would he do it? I mean, now, he's there now.
Okay, fine. Now, by the way, an important note. In other words, from this point going forward, we're going to use terms Ani and Asher.
What's
the definition of Ani and Asher? For our purposes and for the remainder of today, Asher means that he's home. Ani means he's traveling.
Right.
It's that simple. Meaning there's no... Right, in our context, in other contexts, we can give other definitions of what a poor person and a wealthy person are. But for our context, when you're traveling, you're an ani. When you're home, you're an asher. Okay. And by the way, you're going to see later on today's daf, you're going to have poor people who are going to be starting from the house. They're an asher, meaning for the purpose of this halacha, they're home, they have food, they're an asher. Okay, so. That's easy. That's the easy part of today's daf, giving a definition of what an ani and what an asher is. The complicated part of today's daf is going to be, when can you employ these leniencies? Either A, or let me go in the order of the Mishnah. A, projecting my eruv ahead of where I am, right, which is obviously, that's a serious leniency. Or B, making the eruv directly under my feet. Another leniency.
Why is that a leniency if you're there erev Shabbos? Why do you call that a leniency?
Meaning, what do you want?
Your house versus what?
Because, right, in other words, you're transferring now your makom shvisa from your house to this area. Maybe the only way you could do it is with bread. Okay? Maybe. In fact, that's Rav Meir's position. Okay, again, much to discuss over here, so let's begin. Okay, so we have the Mishnah, you have the structure of the Mishnah. Now we start with the Gemara. One, nun aleph, amud aleph, we're on the very bottom. I'm going to do it every time. Anu ein lanu ela ani v'chule. I'm Rav Nachman. Kemachlokes bimkomi. The whole debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is by setting the eruv under your feet. In other words, in our Mishnah, that would be called case number two. Okay? The Rav Meir savar, because Rav Meir is of the opinion ikar eruv v'pas. Meaning, fundamentally, what is the eruv? It's bread. Food. That's what the Erev is. So, Ani Uda Kilo Rabbani Lave. And regarding the Ani, so the Chachamim were more makel regarding the Ani. And again, Ani here in this context means the traveler. So, Aval Ashir, lo. But if you are an Ashir, no. Rav Yehuda Savar Iker Erev Beregel. And Rav Yehuda fundamentally disagrees. No, what are you talking about? The real Erev, right, can the real Erev please stand up? The real Erev is Rago, is your feet. In other words, just simply standing in a particular place. Echad ani ve'echad asher. And so that means then that this employment of bimkomi, where I'm standing right now, I'd like that to be my Erev, according to Rav Yehuda. Perfect. Not only perfect, you satisfy the Erev in the best way imaginable. You stood in that one place. Echad ani ve'echad asher. Savri ikar Erev b'regel. Echad ani ve'echad asher. And that would mean then that regardless of whether you are homebound or a traveler, either way, you can make an Erev with your legs. Avab makom ploni divrei hakol ani in asher lo. But if it's makom ploni, meaning this idea that you can forecast your Erev ahead of where you are, you can't do that from your house. And everybody agrees, both Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Meaning, case one of the Mishnah is indisputable in the fact that, let's say you start in your house and you say, you know, I want to travel over there. It's 4,000 amas away. I don't want to put food over there. I don't want to walk over there. So you know what I'm going to do? I'll project. I'll forecast. Everybody, says Rav Nachman, everybody agrees you cannot do that. You're an usher. In our context, you're a wealthy person. From the luxury and confines and comforts of your own home, you cannot forecast an Erev ahead simply saying, I'm going to walk there. The only person that could do that, case number one of our Mishnah, is the person who's in the middle of traveling. And since he's in the middle of traveling, so then and only then do the Chachamim afford him this opportunity of getting, of projecting his Erev ahead of where he is, because he's so desperate right now to try to get home. Okay? So according to Rav Nachman, quick recap. According to Rav Nachman, bimkomi, to stand in a place and say, this is going to be my Erev, that's a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, it can only be done by the traveler, the Ani. But if you're from your own home, no. In other words, you have to do it with food. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, Iker Erev is Berego. And since Iker Erev is Berego, you want to employ the Erev Bimkomi? Anyone can do it. The person who is poor, the person who is wealthy, anyone can do it. Okay? What about forecasting your Erev ahead of where you are? Only for the traveler. According to Rav Nachman, there's no dispute. Everybody agrees. That's only for the traveler. Ad Kan, that's Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah. Now with that understanding of the Mishnah, now we're going to dissect the Mishnah. Meaning what we're going to now do is basically take a step-by-step through the Mishnah and see how every line of the Mishnah reads according to Rav Nachman. So the Gemara starts off with this exercise. So Rav Yehuda Savar Ikar, I'm sorry, read that. Avamakal Divrei Hakol Ani in Asher Lo. Vizu Isha Amru. Now the Mishnah makes a statement, a declarative statement, and says, Zu Isha Amru, right? Remember? The Mishnah making the very clear statement, in this case, Ani Ma'ariv Biraglav, the poor person can be Ma'ariv with his regel. So what is that going on? Man Ketanila Rav Meir. That's talking about setting an Erev under your feet. Who's of that position? That's Rav Meir. That's declarative statement number one. And meaning, according to Rav Meir, who can make an Erev under his feet? Only the poor person. Only the traveler. Meaning, but if you're from your comforts of your home, how do you make an Erev according to Rav Meir? Only with food. No other way. Okay, that's declarative statement number one. Alahaka manketan la. I'm sorry. Enamakir Hashenabaki Balach v'lamr ma'arav pas. Alahaka manketan la Rav Yehuda. And then the Mishnah makes the declarative statement number two, which is, you know, we only you don't have to make an erev with bread. It's just a way of creating it a little bit easier for the usher. But in other words, anyone could just simply stand in a place and make an Erev where they stand. You know who made declarative statement number two of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Adkan. So in other words, so now we have our first approach in our Mishnah, which is the Rav Nachman approach. To make it as simple as I can, according to Rav Nachman, the idea that you can make an Erev from where you're standing, so if you're traveling, that's fine. But if you're from the comfort of your own home, and you have food available, can you make an Erev with your regel? Machlokas. Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And it's a question of what is really the Iker Erev? Is the Iker Erev with food? Is the Iker Erev with bread? According to Rav Meir, the Iker Erev is with food. So therefore, you can't simply just walk over there, sit down and say, that's going to be my Makom Shrisa. That's Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says the Iker Erev is with food. I'm sorry, Iker Erev is with your regal. And since the Iker Erev is with your regal, so you can walk out. Good. In terms of forecasting your Erev ahead of where you are, there is no debate. Everybody's in agreement. That can only be done by the traveler. That cannot be done by the person who is homebound. Approach number one of our Mishnah, that is Rav Nachman. It comes out a little bit strange if you think about it just a little bit more, because the Mishnah presents cases number one and then case number two. And then the Mishnah presents a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It's a little bit strange because case number one, that's the traveler who's trying to forecast it ahead. So that's only talking about an ani. Case number two, where it says bim kami, that's the machlokes. In other words, the Mishnahites present the case back to back, but we're not in agreement in terms of when they could be employed. Okay, that is number one. Rav Chista amar machlokes b'makom ploni. Rav Chista says no. The whole debate in our Mishnah is where I'm forecasting the erev ahead of where we are. Rav Meir savar ani and asher lo. Rav Yehuda savar echad ani ve'echad asher. There, that's the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So Rav Meir says that can only be done by the ani, can't be done by the asher. And Rav Yehuda says no, it can be done by ani and asher. And again, ani and asher means in this context whether I'm traveling or whether I start from my house. If I'm caught traveling, so then according to Rav Meir, I can forecast my erev up ahead. But if I start from my home, I can't. I can't forecast my erev up ahead.
You're not ani either.
Huh?
If you're at home, you're not ani.
Correct. And according to Rav Yehuda, again, this is now Rav Chista's version, understanding of the machlokis, I can forecast either way, both when I'm traveling or when I started from my home. Ava bimkomi, but now, if I want to make an eruv with my legs, meaning by standing in a place and saying, the spot under my legs is going to be my eruv, devrehakol echadani ve'echadashir, de'ikar eruv beregel. Everyone would agree, of course that's going to work. You're standing there. So divrei hakol, according to everybody, that would work, and that would serve as your erev tchum. So according to Rav Chista, he obviously results in a more lenient understanding of our Mishnah. Where? Can I forecast my erev up ahead? So according to Rav Meir, only when I'm traveling, and according to Rav Yehuda, both when I'm traveling and I start from home. Or when I start from home. By the way, every time when I say when I'm traveling, what I mean by that is, you're in the middle of traveling, meaning you didn't start from your home. Okay. And can I walk to a place and establish that place under my feet to be my Erev Tchum? According to everybody, yes. Now, once we have this understanding of our Mishnah, again, we're going to go through the same exercise. How do you walk us through the Mishnah? Well, what parts of the Mishnah belong to whom? Vizui sha'amru man ketani la. So when the Mishnah says, in this case, so who's saying that? Rav Meir v'ahayakai ahami sheba b'derech v'chash chalo. That's talking about the traveler who's walking home. Sorry. That's the zui sha'amru. Meaning because, what if you're Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda allows you to forecast your erev up ahead, regardless of where your starting point is. If you were caught traveling, or you were starting from your house, either way, you can forecast your erev up ahead. So the Zuhi Sharmu has to be said by Rav Meir, and specific to what case? Only the case of the guy who was traveling. And then when the Mishnah concludes by saying, you know, you don't really have to make an erev with bread. You can make an erev with your legs. You know who says that? Everybody says that. Meaning there's no debate. If I want to stand in a place and say, this is my Makom Shrisa, it will work according to everyone. Period. We have now two different understandings of our Mishnah, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. Okay? Just to get everything straight, according to Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah, not everybody agrees that the guy who's starting from his house can simply walk to a spot and say, hey, this is going to be my Erev. And the place under my feet is going to be my Erev. That's going to be subject to a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Where Rav Meir says that's not going to work, that only works for the guy who's traveling. Where Rav Yehuda says, no, that's going to work, that'll be fine. That's Rav Nachman's understanding of the Mishnah. And forecasting your erev ahead of where you are, everybody agrees that's only for the poor person, meaning the traveler who is stuck on the road, who was in the middle, right, as Shabbos was approaching, was traveling, but for the person starting from his house, everybody agrees that you cannot forecast your Erev up ahead. That's Rav Nachman. According to Rav Chisda, no. Much more lenient. In terms of Mikol Mi, the place I'm standing above, I'd like that to be my new Makom Shvisa. That's good for anybody. The traveler, the guy who started from his house, anybody can make an Erev with Regal. The only thing that's up for debate and discussion is when the person is traveling, I'm sorry, and the other end, let me go the other way. And the person who's traveling, who's trying to get home, so can he forecast his Erev up ahead? Sure. That's not a problem. That's true for Rameir and Rav Yehuda. The only thing that's subject to a machlokis is, according to Rav Chisda, that's also subject to a machlokis. Okay, I also, trying to get all clarity on this issue. According to Rav Chisda, right, that's also subject to a machlokis. Whereas according to Rav Meir, only the traveler can forecast his Erev up ahead. And according to Rav Yehuda, anybody can forecast his Erev up ahead. Okay. Good. That's where we are right now. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Nachman. We're going to start off with a brisa that supports the position of Rav Nachman. How so? Let's go through the brisa. Echanani ve'echad asher ma'avim bebas. V'lo yetza ish asher chutz l'tchum v'yam ashvi sasi bimkomi. L'fi shalo amr ma'avim berega ela mishaba baderech v'chashcha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Perfect. In other words, stop. I mean, we could stop right here in the bright stuff. What do you see from Rav Meir? That really the Iker Erev is with bread. And the usher, and again, the usher just simply means the guy who started from his house. Okay? He wants to extend his tchumen in one particular direction. How does he do it? With bread. And only with bread. Meaning, how about walking over to a spot and saying, Shvisasi bimkomi, right under my feet. The Braisa says it's not going to work. That is exactly Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Amar Echanani Ve'echad Asher Ma'arvin Beregel Ve'yetza Asher Chutz Tchom Ve'yamati Shvisasi Bimkomi Ve'zehu Ikaro Shel Eruv. And Rav Yehuda in the Braisa says, no, just the opposite. The real Eruv is your legs. You want to walk to a spot and say, the Eruv that I'm standing under is going to be my Eruv? That works according to everybody. Meaning that's the real Eruv. And the only reason why the Chachamim came up with this idea of making an Eruv with food is just to make it easier. In other words, I don't want to schlep, I don't want to walk over there, I just want to simply make that my new Makom Shvisa. So fine, so you can hand your food over to an agent, ask the agent to bring the food over there, and that'll work. But be'ikaron, fundamentally, the Erev is made with your legs, and so therefore you can walk over there, even if you're starting from your house. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Ba'anshe Beis Mamal, Ba'anshe Beis Goryon, Ba'aroma. There was an incident regarding people of these communities. Shayim Achalkin, Grogros, Vitzimukim, La'aniyim, B'shnei B'tzaros, years of famine, and they were giving out raisins and dates, other way around, dates and raisins. And people were coming from these outside towns. And they were machshich alatchom. Usually means at the end of Shabbos. Here, it means in the beginning of Shabbos. Lamach meaning that the beginning of Shabbos, as Shabbos began, so what they did is they walked out to a place where they wanted to make their Eruv, so that the next day in Shabbos they could walk 4,000 amos in order to get the raisins and the dates. Lamachras mashkin avayim. And so the next day they can go out and they can get. Meaning, these people, now I know, I told you, it's going to be ironic. They're poor, but in our context, in our discussion, where did they start from? They started from their home. And because they started from their home, so they don't, in this regard, they're not called Ani, they're called Ashir. And meanwhile, they made an Erev with their feet. So Rav Yehuda says, the story indicates, and I'm correct, that anybody and everybody can make an Erev with their feet. In fact, the Iker Erev can be made with your feet, meaning the ground that's beneath you. So if you start off at any point during the Banish Moshe's period, on any particular place, and you declare, this is going to be my Makom Shvisa, so wonderful. I'm Rav Ashi Masisa Namideka Diktani. In fact, Rav Ashi says, when you look back at our Mishnah, you can actually see Rav Nachman is clear, this understanding of our Mishnah. Because Not our Mishnah, but the Mishnah coming up. The Mishnah coming up describes the following scenario. A person who is about to walk on a journey, and his friends basically convince him, no, don't go, stay here. Right? We'll see later in the Gemara, his friends are trying to argue, it's too hot to walk, it's too cold to walk. Okay, whatever, they convince him to turn around. According to Rav Yehuda, he can go 4,000 amas, meaning that the Erev that he wanted to make will work. Now the obvious question, as we get to the Mishnah, which is coming up on the next Amud, the obvious question is, well, what's the difference between him and all the other people of the city? The case the Mishnah is dealing with is a person who is not just a homeowner, but a dual homeowner. He owns one home in this town, he owns another home in the other town. And they are exactly 4,000 amas away from one another. And what he'd like to do as Shabbos comes is basically say, you know, all right, he's a snowbird basically. I don't want this house to be my house this Shabbos. I want the other home 4,000 amas away. I want that to be my house. And so therefore, what is he trying to do as Shabbos comes? Basically walk home. Even though he just left his home, but he wants his other home to be his primary house. So in terms of a halacha, what is he, an ani or an ashir? In terms of halacha, he's an ani. He's traveling to get home. The Gemara says it. So because he's traveling home, so now he's an ani. Now the rest of them, they're ashir, meaning that city where they started from, for the rest of the people of the city, they're an ashir. Ama kobe makom ploni, ani in ashir lo. So what do you see? Meaning, and now what happened is, makom ploni, he's trying to forecast his erev ahead of where he is, right? Who can do it? Only the traveler. The rest of them can't. That's the fundamental difference between them and all the others. Shemamina. So what do you see from here? So what you see from here is, Rav Nachman is correct. That the only person that can forecast his erev ahead of him is only the ani, not the asher.
Two houses, 4,000 amos apart or 2,000 amos apart?
4,000.
But he's forecasting it where, not to the other house.
To the midpoint.
Oh, to the middle.
So that, if I didn't make that clear, so then I apologize. But he forecasted to the middle so that he can walk home. Okay, Shmamina, so therefore, once again, you see. So once again now, we have Rav Nachman. Let's just, again, the more we review, the more we're going to really get the hang of it. We have the position of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah is that the debate that takes place in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, in terms of forecasting his Erev ahead of where he is, that's subject to a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir says he cannot do it. Sorry. Again, I apologize. Everyone's of the opinion that's only for the ani that could forecast his erev ahead of where he is, but the asher, again, the guy who's starting from his home, cannot forecast from the point from where he is. In terms of making an erev bimkomi from under the place that he is, so that's subject to a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, where again it's a question of what's the ikar erev. Ikar erev is bepas. Or Iker Erev is Beregel. Good. That's Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah. Not only is that Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah, we have a Braisa that supported Rav Nachman, plus we have the Mishnah upcoming, which we're going to get to in just a couple minutes from now, which also supports Rav Nachman's viewpoint as well. Good. A lot of indicators indicate that the halacha over here is going to follow like Rav Nachman. Okay, we're on the very bottom of Nun Alpha Midbase. Maskin La Rav Chia Bar Ashi, Lechia Bar Rav, Kame de Rav, Echerani Vecher Ashir. So, Bryces were set over by the sons of Rav, to the Chia Bar Ashi, Chia Bar Rav. All these Bryces were set in front of Rav. So Rav's listening to the Bryces. So Amar Le Rav. So when Rav hears the Bryce, he says, good. He said the Bryce is great. Now, Stiyam Ba, Nami Halachik Rav Yehuda. Now, when you finish the Braisa, I want you to punctuate the Braisa by saying, and the halacha follows like Rav Yehuda. Good. Rabba Baruchana Hava Ragal Dasi Me Artivna Lepumpadisa. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Bar Chanan, where normally he would walk from Artimna to Pumbedisa. Based on the context of our discussion, we know it's 4,000 miles away from one another, and basically in order for him to walk from one to another, he wants to now either lay in the Erev in between, or, in the very least, forecast an Erev in between. So, Amar Teheshvi Sasi Bitsina Sa. So there's a particular place Rashi describes as a Makom Mesuyam, a specific place between the two, a landmark between the two. And so now what he's going to do is, he wants to forecast his Erev to that point, so that on Shabbos now, he can walk from his house to Pumbedisa. Here's a problem. It's a very simple problem. He's starting from his house. So, right, so you're...
He doesn't have another house with
him? Oh, so apparently in this case, no. Right? It's a good point, but apparently in this case, no. So he's starting from his house. So, Amalei Abai Maidei Tech, Rab Meir Rav Yehuda, Lachik Rav Yehuda. So now, Abaye says to him, what are you doing? You're forecasting an Erev Tchum ahead of where you are, but you're doing it from the comfort and the confines of your own home. And what do you think? Well, we have a machlokes, our mission between Rami and Rav Yehuda, and we know that Rav Yehuda is more lenient, and Rav Yehuda really views the legs as the real Erev, and bread is only just a luxury. That's what you think? That's all well and good. But how do you understand our Mishnah? Meaning, remember, there are two cases in the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is forecasting your Erev ahead of where you are. Second case of the Mishnah is bimkomi, establish an Erev from right under where you're standing. So, the Amar of Chisa, Machlokes B'Makom Ploni, and what do you think the correct interpretation of our Mishnah is, Rav Chisda, who is more lenient, who allows, according to Rav Yehuda, anybody and everybody to forecast the Erev ahead of where they are? Yeah, but that's Rav Chisda. Rav Nachman, Vaha Rav Nachman. Don't forget about Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah, which is that according to Rav Nachman, the only person who can forecast their Erev ahead is only going to be the Ani, and that's according to everybody. So Vitan Kavase, and not only that, but we had a Brisa that supported Rav Nachman as well. So in other words, simply put, Abaye says to Rav Barav Hanan, you can't do it. You can't sit there from your house and simply say, without food and without walking there, you can't simply say, hey, I'd like to be my Erev to be, but Makom Ploni. Right, ahead of where I am, but Makom Ploni. That's only for the traveler who's trying to get home. But you're starting from the luxury and the comfort of your own home, you can't do it. Either A, you'll walk over there and you'll stand there, or B, you'll send food over there. But for you to just simply forecast ahead, that you cannot do. So, and when he hears the Musa from Abaye, so Amar Rami Bar Chama, sorry, I skipped Amalei Hadra B. So he says, okay, you're right. Okay, I'll stop. Amar Ami Bar Chama Hari Amru Shabbos Yeshlo Dala Amos. Hanosin is a Eruva Yeshlo Dala Amos Olam. And the Gemara ends off this entire discussion with kind of a very detail-oriented question, but you'll see how it fits in over here. What have we learned? If you make an Erev with your Raglayim, standing in a particular place, so what do you have? Before the 2,000 Amos, even before we get into a discussion of 2,000 Amos, the first thing you get is 4 Amos. Every person where they're standing gets 4 Amos. Shulish Tachtav. We're right. We talked about how you're lying down. Average height of a person is 3 Amos. And then you need the arm room, okay, or room to shuffle things around. But in other words, you get 4 Amos. So, if I go and I walk 2,000 Amos from where I am, plus I make an error with my Raglayim, so you know what I'm getting? I'm not getting 2,000, but 2,004, right? 2,000 amas plus the 4 amas. I know there's a machlokus in terms of how we get those, how we're measuring those 4 amas, whether you're in the middle or whether you can shift it around, or maybe both is true. Okay. But the point is that when you're making an Erev with your Raglayim, it's 2,000 plus the 4 amas. Good. When you make an Erev with food, right? Are you going to get those dollar amos? Or maybe no. Maybe when you make an error with food, all you get just simply is 2,000 amos plus another 2,000 amos. And the food doesn't give you 4 amos. Meaning the food makes you as if you were there, but not that you're actually there. Meaning, legally, it works. But not to the extent in which we're going to say, you were actually there. This is the question of the Gemara. I know it's kind of...
But doesn't the food get its own form?
Yeah. No. No. I mean, from the context of this question, it's clear the answer to your...
You can't deny the 4 amas.
Right. The food's not giving you 4 amas. So, maybe, but maybe what the food can say is, look, I'm there. And so maybe the food should give me 4 amas. So the Gemara says, look, I think I know the answer based on our Mishnah. Because remember, what was the punctuation of our Mishnah? How did the Mishnah end? You know, really, the Erev is with your legs. Food represents a kula. Right? It's only there to help you. Well, now listen to the argument. It's great logic. If the food is only there to help you, so then obviously the food is going to give you those 4 amos. Because if the difference between me making an error with my legs versus me making an error with food is that by me making an error with legs, I get 4 amas, 4 additional amas. And by me making an error with food, I don't get those 4 additional amas. So it's not a kula. Turns out now that if I make an error with food, I'm going to get shortchanged 4 amas. Now, well, we all understand it's not the end of the world. But in other words, it doesn't really fit into the language of the Mishnah. The Gemara says it represents a chumrah. Again, a 4 ama chumrah, but a chumrah nevertheless. And the Gemara basically says, Gemara says, look, maybe you do lose the 4 amas, but still, losing the 4 amas is worth it, considering the fact that you no longer have to walk out to that spot and make an erev on that spot. Okay, so, question, the putting down food, does that give you 4 amas? Answer, unclear. The Gemara does not come to a consensus. Larger issue that we've been discussing up until now. Okay, there are 2 ways to make an error with your legs. 1, stand on a spot. 2, try to forecast it ahead. What's the halacha? So first of all, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. Halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Okay, but that's only step A, in terms of determining the halacha. Step B, when does Rav Yehuda allow you to make an erev with your rego? So, that's a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. And on that, the Gemara seemed also pretty clear, the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Meaning, if you want to stand in a spot, you can always stand in a spot to make your erev. Right? Because according to Rav Yehuda, Iker erev is berego. The bread is only there to help you out. But Iker erev is rego. So if you want to stand in a spot, you may do so. Okay? And even if you're starting from the comfort and confines of your own home, you don't have to make an erev with bread. You could use your legs. But using your legs means walking there and actually standing there during the Banish Mashas period. How about forecasting an erev ahead of where you are? According to Rav Nachman, that can only be done by the traveler. Right? The Ani. The Asher, the person who's starting from his home, cannot forecast his erev ahead of where he is. And that's in fact the halacha. Okay, so in other words, yes, Iker Erev is Berego, and yes, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and yes, the person starting from his home can make an Erev with his legs, but the only person that could forecast his Erev ahead of where he is only going to be the traveler. All this leads us now to the next Mishnah. Now, this next Mishnah is going to sound awfully familiar because we just went through it, but now we get to see it actually inside in the Mishnah. So you're about to walk now. In other words, again, we now know what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is unbelievably ambiguous. Without the Gemara, really, kind of at a loss in terms of what's going on here in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is talking about a case where he has 2 houses. They're 4,000 amos from one another. This guy typically makes an Erev in the middle. And in order for him to make an erev in the middle, so he could do it with food, but he chooses not to. He does it with his regal. And not only does he do it with his regal, he doesn't even stand there. He basically, before Shabbat starts, he says, you know, forecasting it ahead. Now we can ask the question, but we also know the answer. You're not allowed to do that from the comfort of your own home. He's not in the comfort of his own home. Meaning he's leaving his one home to go to the other home, and every Shabbat he knows, that's my home. This is my summer house, right? But that's my home over there. So in other words, he is a ani. He's a traveler. which affords him the opportunity and the ability to basically forecast his Erev up ahead. So Mishi and the Mishnah over here gives a little bit of drama. His friends basically turn to him and say to him, don't go. It's too hot to walk. It's too cold to walk. Don't go. So he can walk, but nobody else can. That's Rav Yehuda's position. Rabbi Meir Omer, says, wait a second. What's going on over here? He could have made an Erev. He didn't make an Erev. Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal, right? Donkey, camel, remember? Meaning stuck between the two. Okay. We'll come back. We'll analyze Rav Meir in just a moment. So, Maishna, Yom Maishna, Inhu. Again, the beginning of the Gemara we're all familiar with. What's the difference between he and everybody else? Amar Avuna, Achaba Maizkinon, Kigarin Shishlo Shnei Batim, V'nei Shnei Tchumei Shabbos. Again, the case is, like just like we said earlier this morning, the two houses are 4,000 amos away from one another. They are two tchums away from one another, otherwise known as 4,000 amos. Ihu, now as far as this one person is concerned, Kevin Denafik Leilor Chehavaleani. He's a traveler trying to get home. He could forecast his Erev ahead of where he is. V'hani Ashirininhu, they're home. So they can't forecast their Erev ahead of where they are. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara says, not only is this a suggestion on our Mishnah, this is Pshat, we have a Braisa that supports this. Mishishlo Shnei Batim V'neim Shnei Tchumei Shabbos, the Braisa here actually articulates the case. Meaning from the Braisa you get a much clearer picture of what's going on. You have the guy who owns two homes. They are 4,000 amos away from one another, or two tchum Shabbos is away from one another, and the only way he can get from one to the other is by making an Erev in the middle. Kevin shehichzik baderech. As long as he starts walking, this is critical. As long as he starts walking, that is an indicator that where he his home right here, that's not where I want to be this Shabbos. It's the other house. It's my other house where I want to be in. So Kana Erev Divra of Yehuda, so at that point in time now, he's Kona his Erev. Meaning, that allows him to forecast his Erev up ahead and acquire his Erev up his head. Now, Yeso Kenam Rav Yehuda. Now, on this, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda goes even one step further, which is the following. Afilo Matzo Chaver V'Amalo, Linpo, Eitz Chamahu, Eitz Sinahu. Let's say his friends basically try to persuade him. No, don't go. Right? What are you going to do? You're going to walk 4,000 amas? That's 2 kilometers, about, roughly. Which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but in the heat, it's a lot. If it's really cold, that's a lot. So his friends basically say, no, don't go. And it almost looks like they got him. But they got him to stay. Meaning, so that night, he decides not to walk. Meanwhile, Lamachar Mashkin V'Holech, the next morning he can get up and go. Meaning the fact that he was thinking about going the night prior, even though temporarily his friends persuaded him to stay, that's enough of a movement for him to be considered now an Ani, so that the next morning he can actually go. Now, he didn't lay down an Eruv with food, correct. He wasn't actually standing in between before Shabbos, correct. But in other words, he's an Ani, and therefore he can forecast, project his Eruv ahead of him.
Thinking, or did he actually initiate an act?
Okay. Perfect setup. I appreciate that. Amar Rabba Lomar Kuleam Lo Pliga Ditzarech. Okay, now, what does he need to do in order so that it's clear that he's forfeiting his current home and he wants the other home to be his home to put him in this category of Ani? So Rava says, there's no question, he needs to say, verbalize. Lo pligi I'm sorry. I'm Rava Lomar Kule Amar Lo Pligi Ditzarech. Ki pligi lahachzik. The only debate is, does he actually need to start walking? So in other words, is it enough, right, when a person is trying to commit to a certain thing? So basically, what's necessary in order to affirm that commitment? So, according to Rabba, he needs to articulate, but does he actually need to start walking? No, not necessarily. Rav Yosef goes the other way. No, he needs to start walking. But the only thing that's left for discussion is, does he also need a verbal declaration in addition to him starting to walk? So, the Gemara says, well, consider the following. We have a Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a scenario where started walking, right? That's the language of Misha Hichzik Bederech. His friends basically said, no, don't go, don't go. Right, it's too hot to walk. And he starts walking back. Harehu muhzar umuhzak. So he's both returned and also it's considered as if he started walking. Now, that's confusing, meaning which one? Imuhzar lama muhzak. The imuhzak lama muhzar. Hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, this is what the Braisa must mean. Afa pisha muhzar, muhzak. So the Gemara says, even though he's muhzar, nevertheless he's muhzak. Meaning, the idea that he started walking already is enough to show that he is ready to forfeit this house, and the other house is really his main domicile. That means now he's an ani, he's a traveler, and that means that he could forecast his eruv to that 2,000 amma midmark. And what you also see over here is that he didn't verbalize. All he did was, he started walking. Keman, Rav Yosef, Aliba Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So it must be that we're going like Rav Yosef. That you don't have to verbalize, all you need to do is just start walking. Even though his friend successfully persuaded him, turn around, come home, don't go. Even though they did that, because he started to walk, he's now considered an ani. The Gemara tells a story. Rav Yehuda bar Ishtasa Isole Kakala de Perla Rav Nasan bar Oshia. Rav Yehuda, son of Ishtasa, Rashi says that's just simply a name. Okay, usually that means a fever in the Gemara. But anyway, that's was bringing a basket of fruit to Rav Nasan bar Oshia. He ava azel shafke adenachis darga. Now, basically, the move was as follows, meaning, I want him to be categorically an ani. So I'm not going to stop him from his progress until he actually makes one step in that direction. And Amrlay, and then after he made his first step, literally on the step, my darga is usually a step, but in other words, as once he made that first step in order to walk, so now he's considered muhzak baderech, he's now a traveler, categorically now an ani, and now he'd be able to forecast an eruv ahead of where he is. But then once he made that first step, what did I do? Amalei, bis hacha. Lamachar kadim va'azel. Stay here tonight. Tomorrow morning you'll go. Now, even though he successfully persuaded him not to walk over the course of the evening, but nevertheless, so the fact that he made one step already puts him in the category of a ani, a traveler. Now, over here, keman ki Rav Yosef, aliba de Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. Now, the Gemara says, who are we going like? Presumably, who we're going like is like Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, meaning that all you need to do is walk, you don't need to verbalize, and even though you were successfully persuaded in not going, it doesn't matter. You're still for the remainder of Shabbos under the category of ani, and therefore you're allowed to go the next day, and project. The Gemara says, not necessarily lo karabah v'alibah d'Rav Yehuda. No, it could be that the halacha is like Rabbah, that you need to articulate. Could be, even though we don't get this from the story, that he actually did articulate. And also, the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, that once you walk and once you articulated, so then you could forecast your eruv ahead of where you are, and you doesn't have to be like Rav Yosef. Why, Rashi points out, why did the Gemara want to do that? Meaning, why didn't the Gemara want to go like Rav Yosef? So the Gemara, because Rashi says, because normally with the machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef, the halacha falls like Rabba, not like Rav Yosef, and that's why the Gemara kind of wanted to backtrack a little bit. Okay, so let me just simply, we're past, we're done. So let me just quickly review, refresh, and we'll finish for today. Okay, basically now, can I make, I'll summarize really simple. Can I make an eruv with bread? Yes. Can I make an eruv with my legs, meaning standing on a place? Again, the answer is yes. Even if I start from my house, sure, no problem. Because the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, and you want to make an eruv with your legs, you are allowed to do that. The fundamental, the real eruv, if you will, is with your legs. Bread just serves as a kula. Can I forecast my eruv ahead of where I am? That's a machlokas in the Mishnah. It's also a machlokas on Marayim in terms of who subscribes to that viewpoint. Conclusion, we're going to say, like Rav Nachman, only the Ani. Only the Ani can forecast his Erev ahead of where he is because he's traveling to get home. But if you're starting from the comforts and confines of your own home, you cannot forecast your Erev up ahead. Remember, Abaye tried that. Another Amora tried that. Abaye gave a Musar. He stopped doing that. You can't make an error forecasting ahead of where you are. Only the traveler can do that. Okay, and that's how we understood our Mishnah, also on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph.
In this case, it was going back and forth every time.
I understand. Right? Understood. Okay, we'll stop over here.